Thank you for downloading the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast. For more podcasts as well as breaking news, visit prweek.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the February 2nd edition of the PR Week. That's PR Week's weekly podcast on everything happening in the worlds of PR, marketing, and communications. My name is Frank Washcook. I am your guest host for this week, taking the place, or trying to, of our editor-in-chief, Steve Barrett, who we're told is on a beach in Curacao right now. So with me this week, I have an all-star lineup. I'm happy to be joined by my colleague at PR Week and Haymarket Media, Bernadette Casey. Bernadette, it's been a while since we've had you on the podcast.
It has, Frank. I am thrilled to be back.
And I can tell by your voice that you are thrilled to be back right now. And she's going to be talking about a really interesting initiative that PR Week has going on with an upcoming issue. I also have Allison Kansky here, who is our healthcare reporter. Allison, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Friday.
Yes, it is, and it's awesome. And she's going to be talking about this weekend and making her Super Bowl predictions. And with me also is Perry Simpson, who just did an excellent video called What It's Like to Be Black in PR. Perry, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm up.
So really, up early. So really looking forward to hearing what you learned when you put together the video. So let's start with this. What is on everybody's mind in terms of predictions for this year's Super Bowl? Allison, let's start with you.
Well, who's in it first?
Well, it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots are playing.
Oh, of course.
Perry, do you want to make a wager?
I got 5 cents on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
You're going to lose that.
Yeah.
Okay. Allison, who do you have winning the big game?
All I know is that everybody seems to hate the Patriots.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because they go so often.
Yeah.
Is that Tom Brady?
Yes.
Yeah, everybody hates him.
Yeah.
So that's I'm guessing you're also going with Philadelphia, Bernadette.
You know, I just like a close game. Honestly, I know that sounds weird, but I just
You're really sidestepping this. Make a prediction.
Well, we know, Tom Brady's going to win. Everyone will be annoyed by that, but I just want it to be a good, close, exciting game. Because if it's a blowout, that's just insanely boring for everybody.
Will his hair remain perfectly in place the whole time?
Of course. We can only hope so.
I thought the Eagles were bad. I mean, aren't they usually really bad?
Well, they're better this year, clearly.
Clearly.
So, yeah. Okay, so one thing that we won't be seeing during this year's Super Bowl, amid all the on-field and off-field action, is a lot of pharmaceutical ads. And Allison is here to tell us why.
Right, yeah. So I was talking to a couple people who work in healthcare marketing and on the brand side and everything about why there seems to be no pharma ads during the Super Bowl when there's pharma ads during literally anything else that airs on TV.
Including a lot of regular season football games.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You're really kind of inundated with them during the season.
I know. It's kind of strange that they don't go in for Super Bowl when it's like a great opportunity to reach like millions and millions of people. So there's a couple reasons, really. One of them is obviously the cost, which I think tends to deter a lot of people and places and companies.
And what is that magic number this year?
It's more than $5 million for 30 seconds.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Mm. Yes. So even though pharma spends a ridiculous amount on advertising, that just seems to be too much. And then also another thing is that pharma companies and their ads tend to be more conservative.
Right.
Because they have so much regulation on them. They need to spend like 30 to 40 seconds doing the safety information. So that means they can't just buy a 30-second commercial. They have to buy a 60-second commercial, which means that's $10
million. So that's basically $7 million just to explain the safety information.
Yes.
That is costly.
Yeah. And just because it's not exactly the right environment. You know, Super Bowl ads are really, they're very silly. There's lots of weird kind of experimental things going on a lot of the time. I remember that really weird, like, puppy monkey baby thing a few
years ago. I still
have
nightmares about that. That was really...
I know. That's kind of my benchmark for how weird Super Bowl ads are.
That's a reason to watch football games, apparently. I didn't know about this weird monkey baby thing.
I'm sure if we pull it up for you,
you would know it.
You'll remember it.
I will. As soon as I head back to my desk, I will be Googling monkey baby Super Bowl.
Okay, so there were some exceptions.
Yes, there are.
I remember like a foot fungus ad that
there is
I really
a foot fungus
a couple
ad,
years
yeah.
ago or something. Like
they've bought, it's Jublia, mm-hmm. I think. And they've had Super Bowl ads the past 2 years. I don't know if they have one this year again. And they do a pretty decent job, I think. They make it vaguely football-related. They get some, like, retired NFL players in it, and they have the little animation, like, wearing the football helmet and whatnot. It's a giant
Wait,
toe.
Wait, what was a giant toe?
It's a giant toe with the foot fungus on it.
Oh, that's great.
With a football helmet.
That's great.
So, like, you know, that's one company that a couple of these people said, like, you know, they're trying to do this, and they're doing it pretty well. They're managing to, you know, do all of their safety information and make it, like, football-related, so it's not, you know, just that commercial of people, like, walking around in sunshine
right.
kind of thing.
Right. You seem to be referring to a certain type of pharmaceutical ad when you say people walking around in sunshine.
Yes. Right. It's, yeah, you know, most pharma ads, you just, yeah, yeah, they just have people outside, like, playing baseball.
Well, no,
I'll hands and smiling.
Out with it. I'll refer to what I'm saying. I mean, like, if you watch football in the regular season, you're just inundated with the ED ads, and they're all basically the same ad over and over again. So
you're right. That's true.
That's the one where the bathtub is in the middle of the woods.
Well, yes. That's one of them.
That's Cialis.
ED,
which is not convenient.
Erectile.
I mean, if you need to take a bath, I mean, you know, putting it in the middle of the woods is not.
Where there's no access to plumbing.
No. Just doesn't seem to make sense. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, and there's one more pharma ad that I think it was last year, maybe the year before. It was 2016. And it was an AstraZeneca ad.
Right.
And that one, it was just kind of a disease awareness. It wasn't necessarily straight, like, here's a drug you should use. But it got some backlash because they tried to make it, like, clever and funny, like a Super Bowl ad. And people took it as making light of, like, a very serious subject. So they kind of have to walk this, like, weird line because people have these diseases and they're, like, suffering from it.
Yeah.
And they can't be too, like, blasé about it.
But I think there's also the other side to this, in that you could make an ad that's just such a complete downer. I think if we remember that one ad from a couple of years ago, it was an insurance company that made that ad with the kid that was like, and now I'm dead. And it was just really morbid. And
that's true.
You know, wanted to, almost made you turn the TV off. Okay.
Right.
So we should say, though, that while it looks like there aren't going to be any, if many, pharma ads during the Super Bowl, it's possible we'll see a few. It's not like we've seen a full list yet. So.
Jubilee might come back. You never know.
Could be a comeback performance.
For the other toe. Maybe
for the toe.
The left toe. Exactly. If that was the right toe that was in the first commercial, the left toe can show up.
Like the Philadelphia Eagles are... Foot fungus infected toe may make a comeback. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a great prediction.
Okay, so it's a good article. It's on both PRWeek.com and MMMOnline.com, so you can check it out on either of those websites. Allison, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, Perry, you did a terrific video mini documentary, we're calling it, on what it's like to be black in PR. And you interviewed a lot of great subjects that had interesting things to say. What was one thing that really jumped out at you during the interview process?
I would say it was from Andrew McCaskill from Nielsen when he broke down the difference between being black in agency and being black in corporate PR, and that for me was a watershed moment in the entire project where I was like, "There's a difference here."
Okay. Tell us more about that. That's really interesting.
He goes on to say, and this is kind of the consensus, it seems, that when you work in the agency, there's like a ceiling. You know, in the video, I call it the color barrier, where you can't really get beyond middle management for whatever reason. But in corporate, there's, you know, tons of black heads of communications, SVPs, and all these things, right? So Andrew's point was that if we have on the agency side, these folks are saying we can't find people of color to work for us, but on the corporate side, you have all these folks. You know, it's just there's clearly a clash there. Mm-hmm. So.
And what do they see as the reason behind that? Why is that breaking down like that?
Probably, unconscious bias. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, you find this in pretty much all walks of professional life, all walks of life in this country. There's always an element of slight or unintentionally harmful racism, right? It's just bias. And I don't know much about agencies, admittedly. I'm new to PR in general. I've never been to an agency. I've never talked to anybody from one that I know of. So I don't know how they do things, but it does sound a little funny, if I'm honest.
So what makes the PR industry different or unique from other industries? Because a lack of diversity is an issue across a lot of corporate America and a lot of industries. Is there anything that makes this industry unique in terms of how it shakes out?
I don't know enough to answer that fully, but I will say that I noticed early that PR seems to be infatuated with, you know, tackling this diversity issue. There's mm-hmm. all these awards. My first few projects here were working on various awards for diversity, so it seems like it's very top of mind for the industry. It's just there's a level of distance there,
right.
clearly.
Right. Well, and the clients want it. And yeah. you know, you're reading about that more and more, where the clients are demanding that the agencies bring in diverse teams of people
yeah.
to work
and
on
it.
Their
it makes
accounts.
Sense,
yeah.
because this space is about communication, obviously. And if you're going to be speaking to different groups of people, but mm-hmm. the people doing the talking all look the same, that is a problem.
So what is the one thing that you want people to take away from viewing the documentary?
I think it's more just I would love for folks to understand that, you know, while this video is speaking to this topic and this is Black History Month and all that, this should not be a one-off discussion or a one-off thought for folks. This is something that people of color talk about all the time. We see it. We know what the problem is, and we've tried to communicate it through various, you know, channels, and it doesn't seem to be really hitting that fever pitch where things are actually happening. And that's unfortunate. This video won't fix that. I don't think any video or lecture is going to fix that, or panel or award, but it still needs to be talked about.
What did you see when you were doing interviews? What did people suggest as possible fixes for the issue or possible improvements?
A lot of it was centered on, you know, just working more closely with, you know, Black groups that focus on Black employment mm-hmm. and just kind of working beyond, like, the congratulatory awards thing. Like, mm-hmm. that seems to be, like, a frustration where I'm tired of hearing about these awards. Look at the companies. Look at the boards. Look at all these things. Leadership is the issue, and I think that folks in PR who have, you know, who are in control of people managers, they should be trying to elevate their Black colleagues a little better than they apparently are.
Okay.
And I did see, Perry, it's an awesome video. I saw it this morning.
Thank you.
And I remember one of the comments was that it's very important for clients to step up and demand
yeah.
from agencies, saying that, you know, you have to represent the entirety of the audience I'm trying to reach.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, this does go beyond PR. I know the video is very focused on PR, but this is like a problem across the board. Like Google and all these places will put out these diversity reports, and then, you know, behind the scenes, nothing really is changing, you know. So it's great that we're talking about this stuff, and the video's talking about this stuff, but ultimately, I'm at the point personally where I would just like to see things change.
Okay. Again, it's a really interesting video. It's an eye-opener, and you can catch it right at the top of PRWeek.com this morning. Okay, Bernadette, tell us a little bit about an interesting initiative that's going on with an upcoming print issue.
Yes, And to tie in with Perry's video, we also have the call for this on the PRWeek.com website in the rotator. So our rotator is a very interesting place to be.
It's not a rotator.
What is it called?
It's a showcase.
Oh, sorry.
It's not a rotator.
It's a showcase.
It doesn't rotate.
It's a showtator.
It's a showtator.
I'm done.
What the great initiative is in our April PR Week issue, that is the issue where we highlight our Hall of Fame and Champion of PR winners. We have, for the first time in, I guess, PR Week U.S. history, we are turning over the design of our front cover of the monthly April issue to the industry. We have a call out there on the...
Oh, it's a showcase.
We have a call out there on the showcase asking...
It's not a rotator.
...agency... Or someone on the brand side to come up with a cover concept, and the theme of that concept is simply women. We all have been reading the headlines, and we, as an industry, know that, you know, the majority of the people in this industry are women, and we know that oftentimes women don't get to the, you know, higher C-suite level as often as we like, but that's changing. And we just want to highlight the fact that women are speaking up. They are, you know, obviously the Me Too campaign, obviously all the women who were speaking out about some very difficult topics in the headlines, in the news headlines, and for the women who are trying to make change in the industry to get equal pay for women, to make sure people, make sure women are promoted into the higher management levels that they should be. So we want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate, hopefully, this continuing moment in time, and just celebrate women.
And April, I should say, mm-hmm. is our Hall of Fame issue.
Hall of Fame.
So you can still, there's an extended deadline for that, you can still get in your submissions for that.
Yep. And we the cover concept, the deadline for that is February 28th. And again, you can just check that out on our website. Also, a bit more serious note, we are also conducting a survey about sexual harassment in the industry. You know, we all know in this industry, you know, we measure what matters, and we have to, in order to know how to make sure that this goes beyond just a moment in time, we have to have information. We have to make sure that there are systems in place internally to make sure that sexual harassment stops and stops now. And so I ask that as many people as possible, men and women, go onto our website and take the completely anonymous, I must stress, the absolutely anonymous survey on sexual harassment. And that will be open until February 20th, I believe. So it's an important topic.
And what are the rules for submitting a cover? How does it work?
Well, on the form, when you click on the website, you'll also see that we have created a template. So that'll let everyone know, obviously, the dimensions they have to work in. Our PR Week logo is there. There's a little symbol for where the mailing label will be. And there are lots of details about what kind of files you can send. And once your cover designs are ready, you just email the email that's there. I forget what it is. I think it's covercompetition.com. It's something close to that. And you say, okay, I'm ready to upload my file, and then you will get the passwords to do so.
Mm-hmm. And okay, and that is going to be in our April issue, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Something we're all really looking forward to, looking to seeing the submissions and just how creative people are. And this is open to both corporate side, agency side, everybody?
Everybody.
Anybody? Okay. All right, folks. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's PR Week podcast. We will be back again next week. Thank you for joining us.